the past that I can sometimes be long-winded, and so I've learned how to safeguard myself against this. What I'm going to do today is actually protect myself. I'm going to let you guys finish out the conference. That is to say, if you want to share a long time, that's up to you. If you decide to share, what did Woody say?
He said, I'm out of here.
Group text. Yeah, no. That obviously wouldn't work on me.
Connie would share.
I like that one commercial with the guy's acting like a psychiatrist or something, helping people with their problems, and he says, we're going to learn today how to pull up a PDF. That's me. That's me backing away. My mother asked me before we were coming, she goes, how can I pray for you for this time? And I said, Mom, just pray that we change, that we don't continue doing the same things that we do, but every time we meet together, we change. We are more like Christ, and that's certainly always our goal. So as you met together as a couple, and you began to talk about your issues and began to bring in Hebrews, what's going to change? And how are you going to demonstrate this message that we have of belief? How are you going to influence others to believe? Once again, I can't overemphasize this. The way we usually handle problems and issues are we try to think through how to get out of them. If you'll just stop doing that and just start thinking, how can I encourage faith? How can I, because when all is said and done, the only thing that's going to remain is if we inspired and encouraged people to faith or if we didn't. Because if you didn't, you're going to have nothing. And if you did, then you give them everything. You've given them everything. So how are you going to inspire? How are you going to encourage? My wife and I were talking about a particular passage, and we were talking about the fact that in Hebrews, he just got finished saying that I've forgiven you completely of your sin. I mean, he clearly established that. It's all forgiven. So what he's done in that small place is he's freed people from all their guilt. He's freed people from their past, and he says, done. It's done. Now, the question to a person who has always operated in the realm of law is, so how do we motivate people? If we can't motivate people by threatening them, how do we motivate people? And then he follows with that wonderful chapter 11. You motivate people by inspiration. And he goes down this list of all the paragons of inspiration, whether it's Abel or whether it's Noah or whether it's Abraham or Moses. He goes, look at them. And you walk away and you go, wow, I'd like to do that. I'd like to give my life and quit being a people follower. And I'd like to give my life for something important, to where the world goes, that's something true. That's something to believe in. They have something to believe in. And whoever that and whatever that something is, he's been true to them because it worked. God worked in their life. So anybody want to share in particular? I know that some of you are more gregarious. Probably should call it Greg-garious, because Greg is more open than I am. I don't know how my name got in it. Yeah. It's not
slow on the uptake, but
because it doesn't work the other way around.
Yeah. Anyway, has nothing to do with Gary.
Things that, you know, they should be doing, but, you know, or can't, well, whatever. But anyway, it's not our place.
believed God, and even though the rest of the world was ridiculing him, he did what God told him to do. And there, and as you mentioned earlier with Moses, he left the riches so that he could follow God. And so there's that personal testimony of and conviction, because that's, you know, faith, that's being convinced that something is true. And so it's that personal testimony of, you know, taking that stand, being consistent with it, and just, you know, this is what God wants me to do. And once you take that stand, not back off on that stand. You know, because, you know, one of the problems that we've heard in the, you know, in the world is do this, then next week it's you don't need to do that.
Well, how do you believe in something that's not enduring? How do you believe in something that's not steadfast, that's not an anchor? You can't. It's just a shadow that you're believing in. There's just no way. We were talking about my mother. Of course, she's wrestling with the whole thing. Both of my parents are talking almost daily about dying. And my mother, I was sitting down at the table with her the yesterday, and she was saying to me, she said, so what do you think happens when we go to heaven? What do you think? This is my mother, who's taught me all my life, you know, asking me. She says, what do you think happens? She says, I know this. Our spirit goes up in heaven. Our body stays here. And I said, well, Mom, I said, I don't know emphatically how I'm going to feel. But I said, I can tell you this, that the Word of God, that's our anchor, right? That the Word of God says that Paul was caught up in the third heaven. And he makes this statement, whether in body I don't know or out of body I don't know, only God knows. There I was. And I said, Mom, what he's telling us is that when we're caught up and when we go to heaven, and when our spirit goes there, there's this sense of, I'm not finished. I'm not complete. I'm missing something. We know that we're missing something. But it's not that overbearing to where we feel like, but I don't even know what it is. You know, it's like, it's like with us old people. I forgot, you get in the car, I forgot something. And then you enjoy the trip anyway. You know? You left the stove on or something, but
unless it's
cooked. You don't know what it was, so you forget about it. But I said I believe Scripture's telling us that it's like that. And she said, well, why don't you think that God just has our body go up at the same time? Because we know the day of resurrection, our body is going up, and we'll be complete. And I said, I don't know myself why we do that, but I can tell you that the Bible says this. And I said, the Bible tells us that in Hebrews, we're not going to finish this thing until everybody's in. And it says the same thing in Revelation. The people are coming around the throne of God, and they go, when is this going to happen, and when are we going to get all this? And he says, not yet. Stand off to the side. We're not doing anything till everybody's in. And I said, there's something about resurrection that because the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive will be caught up to meet the Lord and changed instantly in the air. So they're changing at that moment. At the same time, the dead people are changing. So what is God telling you? The body isn't whole till the body is whole. And I said, this I know. What was interesting to me is every time I shared Scripture with her, she was comforted. Because I gave her an anchor for her soul, both sure and steadfast. And that's what we're doing with these promises of faith. We're giving anchors to people that they need and something that will last in their lives. And so, what did you guys, in your time together, come up with?
I'll share.
I didn't know if Woody wanted to go first. I was just thinking before you left.
Okay. One of the things that we were talking about is our children and the different emotional needs that they have. And more recently, our oldest has been having some anxieties about not being perfect. And it comes out a lot in her schoolwork.
She hasn't noticed that she hasn't been up to this point.
Apparently not. And okay. It's really only in school. You know, everything else is kind of like, right. I'm fine. But one of the things that we were talking about, and because the question asked, how can we be influential? And so the thing that I was thinking about, and I was just telling Messina, is that this is actually something that the Lord has only just recently given me victory over, is that I don't need to be perfect. And there, and that sense of striving for something that's just not going to happen. And so from being able to realize that in my own life, I can look practically and say, well, I need to make sure that when mistakes happen, that I'm not getting annoyed and angry, because that is only going to hurt the issue.
So what's a Hebrews text of faith that you would interject?
So the one that I was thinking is that God is good all the time. And then what was the one that you said? I can't remember which one you said. I'm sorry. Okay, and that there's something that's unshakable. So these things, because I'm getting annoyed over things, and so bringing to bear that this is just stuff. Let's not get so wrapped up in the stuff, and let's focus on the things that God is wanting us to focus on. And this is actually a conversation that we've had with her in the past, and even with our son, is that schoolwork in and of itself is really not that important. You may not ever use this information ever again. But what is important is that you love Jesus and you do your best for him. And that's that unshakable thing. Teaching them that there are going to be temporal things, but that's not really what matters. What does matter is how you're doing it for the Lord.
Well, and there's another point here that I would interject at this point from Hebrews. And that is that really when you think about perfectionism is me-centered. Faith is God-centered. In other words, perfectionism is me being good. But our faith is about his goodness and the fact that he's totally paid the price for our sins. I mean, all of our filth, all of our righteousness is like filthiness. So want to talk about perfection? Okay, as perfect as you can be, it's dirt. That you're perfect dirt. You know, I mean, it's just the world going, I'm just so proud of myself. I'm just the most perfect dirt in the world. I'm going, okay, yay. Yeah. But that's our faith has everything to do. And what we want to do as parents is taking our eyes, you know, the wonderful passage there in chapter 12, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Quit taking your eyes off you. Because the only thing that you produce is narcissism. You know? That's the only thing you're going to produce. Perfectionism only produces that. And ultimate frustration, of course. So, good point. Yes, ma'am.
I'll share.
So you have issues.
A lot.
Okay. We love people with issues.
The right. Place.
Right.
Nervous right before we go visit them because, oh, well, it's not like home. I've got to get out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And
not familiar, right?
Yeah, and all these
people aren't arguing and throwing things, so this is just this is terrible.
It's not like my bathroom.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Silly things.
Right.
And I get rattled with these anxieties, like, well, what am I going to do? And what about Teddy?
That's the dog. That's the dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
My child.
Not your bear.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm trying to do everything in my power.
Right.
How am I going to control my environment? And
right.
God is, when we're outside, it, just being able to talk about it in a loving, nurturing, and compassionate sort of way.
Right.
The anxieties I feel, it helped me see that that God's loving kindness will help me. It'll just overcome all those anxieties.
Right.
When if I focus on those things and God's, because we'll be honoring His mother and father, and God wants us to honor our mother and father.
Right.
And so God will help me. He will give me.
But sometimes we confuse honoring mother and father with pleasing mother and father. And really, there's only one we have to please. We want to be honorable towards our parents, but we don't have to do what they want, and we don't have to do what we think that they expect of us. We're doing what's pleasing to God. And when you're walking in what is pleasing to God all the time, then your circumstances never change. So it's like you're at home all the time. Because it doesn't matter where you are, you're just trying to please God.
Right. Right.
And what a wonderful thing that is, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you have issues, Jarrett?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I really enjoyed today, chapter 5, on how to be obedient. And just seeing Christ come through Hebrews, Jesus come through
right.
Hebrews, and he's greater than the world. He's greater than sin. He's great. It's simplicity to me. I've
mm-hmm.
spent way too long talking to people about really complex.
Overcomplicating.
Things.
Yeah.
It really is, okay, just stop sinning and have faith in Christ.
Right.
Because he can carry you through or carry you over anything. Death,
right.
Problems at home, medication, whatever it might be. If we truly have faith in that Christ can do it.
Yeah.
And then I just truly believe that, and I can truly go, honey, it's already done.
And if you think about it, that's influencing you,
right.
to see him go, why can't God do that? And you literally begin to believe in something that you can't see.
Right.
You're going, well, he's seeing something. Well, honey, don't you see that? Yeah, I think I do now that you said something about it. It's strengthening, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't
it is.
Have to think. We just
right.
have to do whatever the Lord wants us to do. That's it.
You just have to believe in His kindness and His goodness and that He's going to do the right thing.
That's it.
And that He can do the impossible thing.
He does.
That's pretty encouraging when you consider, you know, because people will say, well, that's never been done before.
Yeah.
You know, it's never rained before or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
So, chapter 4, I would like to look at that together for a moment.
Chapter 4?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Believe in God's goodness. And this is an area of struggle for me. Not that God is good, but that He's good to me.
Right.
That He will do good for me.
And it's interesting that that's tied directly to rest.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So, I have one of the things that I wrote down here for us was to not be worried about anything. So when we were talking about it, I said, how does that, what does that look like? And that's the first thing that came out of Diane's mouth. And I was like, okay. So, and it translated that what I do every day, all day, working really late hours, trying to.
Yeah. Well, workaholic can actually take the place
sure.
of anxiety because you're spending your time.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because much depression is related to people that are workaholics. You know, when a person's depressed, it's not just sad affect and
right.
doing nothing.
Right.
Sometimes it's spent on activity.
Right. And so I felt conviction, I guess you would say. And the Lord's really, this has been a great study for me today. I hope that I will take it for me.
Right.
Rather than those that I are around. And in doing so, I will be an influence.
An inspiration. To your dad, especially during this time of need,
right.
As he's just come back from the hospital.
From my dad and
yeah.
other
and other family members, sure. Yes, sir. You, Chad. The Rock.
I am thankful, and this is a praise. I am thankful for all the emotions. Gifts, but the one I'm thankful the more or the most for is my self-guilt, my depression, and my anxiety, because these are things that when the Lord takes me through them, I realize that it's because of me and not Him. We were doing a study this morning, and something was not focused on Christ. So
well, I guess that's why Hebrews says you got to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus.
My eyes were the other way.
Right.
And I was sitting here imploding. I don't know if that'd be deal, if anybody else noticed, but I was imploding.
Yeah, I always get depressed when I look in the mirror. I always thought I was younger.
Thank you. And it got to the point, Pastor Gary, where I was about to get up and just leave because everybody taking notes, everybody laughing, I was getting sick. And I was getting frustrated. And
I hate it when other people are happy.
It just
makes me sick,
you know,
too.
It just wasn't a quality which Christ
right.
instilled in my heart.
I got you.
And it took from that moment going outside, coming back in here, and then being with my wife and learning about our emotions, because that's what we struggle with the most.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord just, there you go. And I went from self-pity, self-remorse, to giving all praise to our Heavenly Father.
You went from something very unstable to someone who's a rock.
And what I just recently realized was that the Lord loved me so much that He allowed it to happen in the safest place in the earth.
So you were inspired.
Absolutely.
And influenced
to
put your trust in God.
It was my fault for making Him common, because I never would have thought He would have chosen this place in which He blessed me and my wife in. And He goes, watch this. I'm just thankful, because when my eyes are on myself, I forget that there's another pair of eyes on me, and I'm not the only one,
yeah.
You know, and that God's causing Romans 6:28, He's causing this. And my verse before we became here, when Michelle said 1 Corinthians 10:13, when I was heavy on drugs before I started coming to church, that was my, out of all the scripture, that was the one verse that I was glued to, because I realized He was with me. When I started, He was with me when I OD'd. He was with me when I was getting better. You know, it wasn't me that got myself out of it. It was Him. It was His grace. So I just...
He's been calling you all along, hasn't He?
Amen.
You know, the wonderful thing in Hebrews is God says, didn't I promise it? What do you think, I'm going to lie? And so Hebrews will end this way in chapter 13. Did I not say I would never leave you? Nor forsake you. You go. You promised. And we have an anchor.
Don't we? Listening to Chad in Hebrews 2, where it talks about that He had brought many sons to glory, that He was being perfected. And not that He needed perfecting, but that He was willing to go through every conceivable temptation just so that when I messed up, when I sinned, and I felt like no one would understand all the inner
emotions.
Right. he is the only one, and where it says in verse 18 in chapter 2, he himself was tempted, and that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid. All we have to do is cry out.
He's able.
He's able.
Right. I'm not going to talk to God. I don't think it'll work. No, he's able.
Yeah. And that's what I would say, the inspiration from Greg is that when we got our order right and he was shepherding and God was teaching me what it meant to actually have a shepherd when I have yield and be like, okay, I actually want a shepherd.
Right.
The guilt and the fear of the, when we talked about chapter 9.
Right.
You know, that was my shepherd constantly reminding me, pointing me to the good shepherd, because much of the sin was the same kind of stuff that we were, you know, coming out of. But him in faith experiencing the, like, I'm forgiven, God's let it go, and then helping, like, lead me to that same place that, you know, you're forgiven, reminding me.
Right.
Each time I would go backwards, because he said we're not going to be useful in ministry if we're not able to receive this forgiveness.
Yeah, and how long does the forgiveness last? Forever. Right. Because we keep bringing up the old stuff, and he goes, forever. That was already taken care of, forever.
And then there's joy, and then you said it's like that behavior. Others see it, like my parents, and what, we've had so many different experiences where they know all
that. I know, it's wonderful.
That God would do that. That, to me, is part of the gospel story.
What are you feeling is one of the greatest ways that you can influence people in faith? Because of what you've gone through, obviously you from time to time deal with people that have gone through some of the same struggles.
You know, when I speak with a lot of people, will say, "Oh no, I know God loves me. I know God loves me," and then they'll go on and talk about all the different difficulties and struggles that they have, and I hear myself in them when they're speaking, because I recognize there was a period of my life where I would have said that. I was a Christian for a long time. Yeah, I know God loves me, I love him, but there was no victory. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, encouraging people that, you know, at the foot of the cross, I found victory when I finally received that I am forgiven, and I am dust, but at the same time, I am treasured. And so I...
Yeah, you feel like grabbing him. Believe.
Believe.
He's forgiven you. Believe this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That the Lord would just bring to mind.
And which you should be thankful for.
Which, right.
You know, in a way, I think that's what Chad was saying. Thank you that I went through this. So,
yeah.
Because it shows God's power.
And that's exactly right. So then I could point to that, but not from a condemning place.
Right.
There's power.
Good point. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Dovetail on something that Hina just said, something the Lord showed me in the study this morning, and he's been working on me over the last, you know, several weeks, is... When I believe or am desiring to be walking in the Spirit, but I'm not, and the difference in the way I feel and the effectiveness of the way that I communicate and the way that
How do you know you're not walking in the Spirit?
Well, it makes it obvious real quick.
So you can't trick yourself?
No. And he brings it out, as Chad was saying a little while ago, that, you know, he right as he's, you feel like, okay, I'm coming out of this, Lord, I've learned this. He goes, well, yeah, but now we got to talk about this over here. And so over the last month or so, we've had some challenges come up. And it's...
Challenges, okay, I have to remember that one. That's like...
issues.
Okay. That'd be another word, right? Issues, challenges.
So anyway, we've had those come up.
Right, okay.
Whatever you want.
No, I like that word. I like that word.
So, but, and feeling like I have been turning to the Lord faithfully and earnestly. And then recognizing, no, because I wouldn't be feeling like this if, in fact, I were walking in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because in his presence is fullness of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I
wouldn't be so mad at that person.
Exactly.
Right. I don't think that's the Spirit.
I've didn't feel like that.
They didn't feel like that.
Right. So, but just recognizing in chapter, in Hebrews chapter 9, 12, and then in Romans 8, 1, you know, there is no condemnation in Christ. I think that that's a wonderful passage for us to remember as it applies to us. But to remember that it applies to the others also.
Mm-hmm.
And as Michelle was talking today about her ability to build walls,
mm-hmm.
I'm a pretty effective wall builder.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully...
Here comes Greg, he's going to point out my fault.
Well, what I can do is keep you out of my wall. So I would put all kinds of
right
ammunition on top to make sure if you got near my wall,
yeah,
it wasn't going to be.
Yeah, big. I got something on you.
That's exactly right. Well, I wouldn't even do that. I'd just nuke them.
Okay, all right.
I'm talking about weaponry.
At least it's over. At least you're not torturing people.
Exactly. So, but I would build walls to keep people out, keep people away. And I think over the last several years, hopefully, he's begun to tear those down, but I recognize that I've got a long way to go in that arena. Yeah.
We'll join the club.
That verse 9:12 and that he paid the price once and for all for me, but for that individual also, because what I can do is in my own strength try to forgive, try to let go of something.
Doesn't work.
But if I'm not doing it in his strength, then something happens either innocuously or intentionally, and I go right back to what I thought I had let go of.
Yeah, and you're not at peace either. You know,
right.
You haven't entered into his rest.
Right.
You know, there's you can try to forgive, but you're still thinking about it, and you're still,
right.
You know, as I mean, what a great contrast. Love does not take into account a wrong suffering.
Exactly.
Which means that you can't be counting it. You can't be thinking about it during the nighttime, you know. Why are you still thinking about this?
Well, and to me, it's even more dangerous when you don't think about it, but there's
when you suppressed it.
Yeah, exactly. Because you know it's not right, and so in my own strength, I can let that go. Well, I can't let it go, and then all of a sudden,
you didn't let it go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's like one of those landmines that they find from World War II. You think, oh, yeah. We thought
everybody levels somebody with a machine gun or something.
That's why you know. Because of our past, that's the history that in marriages, couples do that to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And to be mindful of that. When you let it go, you need to let it go. That means not to be brought up again, not to be, you know.
Yeah. So it's like a husband asking a wife, did I do something wrong? No.
Yeah, you did. That doesn't work. There's no grace being offered there.
Honey. No, never mind. I don't want to talk about it. Connie doesn't do that.
I really appreciated this year. I really felt like you were trying to unite us in working together in the gospel.
Right.
Because the world's trying to separate.
The world is trying to tell us not to believe.
Right.
We should, as a church, be influencing people to believe.
Right. But trying to unite us together for that work, and I really appreciated the titles that you gave each chapter, how believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, Michelle and I tried to write down a few things that we knew were kind of going on in our family.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, you know, is of course with family, either side.
Mm-hmm.
But really trying to emphasize, believe God is the permanent solution.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I really thought would be beneficial for us is, you know, because she's going down to see her aunt this Sunday, Monday. And it's easy for everybody to have these great ideas, and yeah, I'm a believer. But for us to zero in, almost write it down on index cards,
mm-hmm.
to remind ourselves the point that we're wanting to convey, you know, hearing them, of course, at the same time,
mm-hmm.
but we already have an idea of going into it. How do I want to make sure that I leave? The question that you wrote was, how will we influence people together, plant something lasting? So I wrote
mm-hmm.
it down.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that we knew with her going to see her aunt, or either one of my aunts or whatever,
mm-hmm.
is to believe God is the permanent solution.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep trying to come back to that, whether different verses, to tie back into that principle.
Right.
And to almost lead them with something,
mm-hmm.
too. Like the index card.
Something to hold on to it, some anchor for their souls.
And then also for us in our own hearts, believe the superiority of the message. This message is superior to all kinds of man's wisdom.
Right.
And if they'll receive that by faith, whether we're tilling the ground, to plant the soil, at whatever stage we're in, or they're already believers, encouraging them, strengthening them in those.
Right. So this is where, when you think about it, this is where apologetics fails. Apologetics thinks in the terms of how can I convince them logically what this truth is, and yet we know that the message is the power.
The power. So that was like with family. One of the other ones was with while we're spending time with our children and we're out. For instance, like, you know, we had sent some pictures. We went and watched the sunrise. And, I mean, we'd say it was a spring kind of sunrise.
Sure.
Sunset. And, but not just all getting in the car and leaving, but reminding them, let's stop for a minute and let's just have a time of giving God thanks. So our one was believe in God's goodness.
Yes.
But this is God's goodness that we had this time together.
Right.
This is God's creation He's given us. Let's make sure as Christians that we're stopping and saying, wait a minute, we just want to say thank you, God. Mm-hmm. Creating that thankfulness.
Yeah, you're implanting that.
Right. And then also believing God keeps His promises. You know, didn't He say, if we delight ourselves in Him, He'll give us desires of our hearts?
Mm-hmm.
Was this not things that y'all were wanting to do? But it's His goodness, and it's Him keeping His promises. The other one was kids' behavior. And so, because sometimes when you're raising kids, especially 4 going on 5, you can almost get to the point where you feel like you're putting out fires. And so one of the things that we wanted to keep coming, bring them back to, or even...
My older son talked about those, you know, those games where you hit
But also, being careful how you word your correction or the redirection, that they're not doubting, you know, their salvation in the sense of giving them that Martin Luther kind of feeling.
Right.
But more, believe in God's eternal redemption. Okay, so we know you made a decision. So let's talk about what's going on now. Believe in the supremacy of God's Son.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep bringing our children back to the supremacy of God's Son.
Right.
There's no one like Him. We take on that character, then the nobility of righteousness for us walking in that, encouraging them down that road, and then believe in true change. When we keep our eyes on Christ, we'll overcome these things.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times parents only focus on the behavior rather than encouraging the true change in the heart. How has God changed your heart towards this?
So, we really try to come back to just some of those principles that you had in each chapter, because what it did is it shrunk it. The main principle that applies at each particular phase or other aspect of our lives that we're in. And then the last one, of course, was with our mothers, you know, reminding or believe God keeps His promise, believe in God's unfailing fidelity. As they're getting older as women, it's easy to begin to start getting scared in different situations. But believe in God's unfailing fidelity. He wants us to believe that.
I'm not going to leave you. Right. I'm not going to forsake you.
Exactly. Right. And that's good for a single woman to be reminded of. And then believe God keeps His promises. And to believe in what is unshakable. The things that you can't see. Tying them back to who our God is. Rather than all the things around them, you know, that can begin to come into their lives and influence them.
Right.
So we want to be influencers in the belief.
Right.
And coming back to some of the
I think a lot of times we become victims to our surroundings and our circumstances, and we say, well, the world is just overwhelming me. Well, stop. You be the influence of the world. And God has planted us that. Thanks, Josh. I appreciate that.
I think Michelle
wanted
to add.
Oh, yeah, okay.
One thing I appreciate.
Well, I think that's one of the points of Hebrews, that there's greater influence through inspiration than accusation.
Right.
And it's easy to accuse people and, you know, point out their faults, but that's not what brings the influence. What brings the influence is watching you believe in this faith and walking in confidence. And, you know, when people begin to see that and they begin to hear that from you, how life-changing that is.
One other thing, Hebrews 9:28, I know we've gone through Hebrews, but
wow. Isn't that a wonderful?
It is just,
without reference. It makes you really look forward.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why people are afraid of dying. Is because they know in the back of their mind, well, if I stand before somebody that's perfect, you know, and I can just see Jesus with open arms going, "What sin?" You know,
yeah,
that's a very great picture. Anyone else? Okay, so you get to go home early, but it's not my fault. Please. Not like I have low self-esteem or anything. Sonny, the song, where's Sonny? There you are. My glasses don't do any good because, although my wife will use her reading glasses.
I see you guys trade off.
I keep telling her, honey, reading glasses. It doesn't matter.
You're not the seeing glasses.
I'm not what?
They're not seeing glasses, they're just reading glasses.
They're just reading glasses, right. But Sonny, this song that we've chosen, I'd ask Sonny to choose a song that would be like thematic in this. And this particular song, the thing I like about it is that it's you and I encouraging others to come. We're telling others that Jesus is saying come. But like the end of the book of Revelation, you know, it kind of starts off, come, Lord Jesus. But you can also hear the church say, come, and invite others to be a part of this. And this particular song really is, I think, influential. And our desire is to bring others to the Lord, to influence others to faith and to freedom. I mean, the bondage that people are in, they're overwhelmed by guilt, they're confused. They're anxious about so many things, and the world is inspiring all kinds of anxiety in their lives, and you and I can tell them, you don't have to be that way anymore. So why don't we rise and sing?
In thinking of the influence of John and what he was called to do, and that was point to the Christ, and as soon as he pointed to the Christ, those two disciples are then ushered in the influence of what John was doing, and then Christ says, come.
Just as you are.
Yeah, just as you are, and come see, and you see that influence demonstrated through the Christ.
Thank you.
Number 60. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit's call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive, come and live forever. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just just as you are. Come receive, come receive, come and live forever. Life everlasting, strength for today. Taste living water and never thirst again. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit's call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive. Come and live forevermore.
Shall we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, I can think of nothing more appropriate than seven words in your word that begin to sum this up. And that is that you must increase, but I must decrease. Lord, that when this belief in faith is real in our own walk, as everything of ourself, of our flesh, begins to fade, and you're seen, and our faith in you is lived out, Lord, it's you that are the light in our lives. That it's you that begins to move hearts. Lord, that it's by your grace and mercy that we may plant seeds and water, but it's when you're seen and a relationship with you is experienced and walked in that we see growth. Lord, may we hold fast to these things. May we not walk out and leave them behind. But may the walk with you be so clearly seen that your love and your faithfulness cannot be denied. Lord, we thank you for your word and being that anchor in our lives. May we come back to these truths in each aspect of our life, Lord, and we look forward to the unity and the doors of sharing this wonderful news that you've given us, Lord, and the fruit that we know that you're faithful to bring. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in all of these things in your name. Amen. Yeah.